Here's what you missed last time on Almost Entirely Sports.
One thing I haven't yet talked about is the fact that Nazis are back.
What are you laughing at, Beards?
So, Ken Taylor, host of The Outdoor Guys here on ESPN Kansas City on Fridays at 3, he texted me, do you also do duck noises? I do not.
Go ahead
I can
give
do
us
it
one.
Through a computer.
Go ahead and give us one really quick.
No, I can't do a duck
Just
call.
Go ahead and try.
Here, ducky, ducky, ducky.
I take easy jokes like Alex Smith takes easy throws.
Well, I was just driving through town and accidentally came across your show.
Bringing forward the notion of potential felony assault.
Ooh, bad. That's
now.
A bad one. Oh, I'm reading now. Hold
yeah,
on.
What are the details?
I'm reading now. Flipping through his pages. Oh, he beat up his sister's boyfriend. If you call the football the Duke, are you a D-bag? I'm not calling for Alex Smith to get shipped out of town, and someone's going to say that I am. And I'm not telling you that Patrick Mahomes is definitively ready right now.
A few moments later,
we all together got to witness the first game, truly, of the Patrick Mahomes era. I think we're moving on, right? We're there? I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back, like a koala. Oh no, Beard just made a very upset face. Very cheesy show after we figure out what the hell just happened to Beards.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing like that.
I went left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
Isn't this a sports show?
Back to sports!
Thank you, every caller.
Almost entirely.
Like, he is a bipartisan bleep talker. That's what I want to be when I grow up. I want to be known as a bipartisan bleep talker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I gain energy by talking. I'm a plant in that way, and my photosynthesis isn't with sunlight, it's with attention. I am bacterial.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
You know they're probably not going to talk about it on ESPN? Too many spider boys.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
People are about to destroy you on Twitter.
I know, I'm ready for it. Oh, but if you want to destroy me on Twitter, it's at JB Briscoe. Follow me, then destroy me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Some prime work again there, Beards. Last week was a good week. You even got a little sprinkling of Chiefs post-game in there. That's whenever I said that I would carry Alex Smith to the airport like a koala for two first-round picks. I'm telling you, listen. I stand by everything that's in that clip. Don't let that fake news media tell you otherwise. Beards is a bunch of fake news. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes is definitively ready, but I'm saying I'd find out for a first-round pick for sure. Is that so bold of me? Welcome to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. My name is Joshua Briscoe, Beards McFly, a.k.a. Nathan Wilhelm, a.k.a. Beards McFloozy, is running the show. Listen, the Chiefs played another preseason game, and, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, you know, looked like a god. I'm not going to apologize for telling you what I saw. I saw the making of a star. I saw a star being born. Today I saw a star die. The sun was blotted out by the moon. I don't know if there's a good Chiefs metaphor to bring in there. Maybe actually Patrick Mahomes is the moon simply now reflecting the light of Andy Reid. But for a little while there, it just covered up the actual star in the sky. I went outside. I was in Olathe at MNU, looking up at the sun, had the glasses and everything, saw the sun get kind of slivered. It was really cloudy. It was pretty hot out. For once in a lifetime celestial event, Beard is putting his glasses on now. Oh, that's good, man. Do the whole show like that. Actually, little known fact, if you stare at me directly, my beauty may cause retinal damage. Put those on. I mean, it was kind of honestly the best thing that came from today as far as eclipse related activities. One was that I saw a picture of Donald Trump just staring at the sun without any glasses or anything, just squinting very hard, which is just, it just made me laugh. And two, I took a bunch of pictures in and around dumpsters
with the rest of my housemates because one of the guys is moving out tomorrow. And we wanted to get one big, like, family photo. So we found some dumpsters and took our pictures around that because that felt appropriate. Those are both real wins from today. The clips kind of fizzled out. But you know who didn't fizzle out? You know what didn't disappoint? You know what I will stare right into? Patrick Mahomes. Gross. Patrick Mahomes did his thing against the Bengals. He shined brighter than the sun today. And I still got people in my mentions telling me to calm down. And I don't want to. I don't want to. Why should I? Why should I not be excited about the future of the franchise clearly being in the organization? I mean, man, I'm so quarterback starved that I remember watching Geno Smith in West Virginia. Being like, hey, you know what? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the guy. Because he was, you know, he's one of the quarterbacks coming up when the Chiefs were going to get a very high draft pick. Ended up being number one overall, obviously. That's the kind of thing that Chiefs fans have gotten hooked into. We got hooked into Johnny Manziel a little bit. We're watching Johnny Manziel in college saying, hey, you know what? Maybe I could talk myself into this and this and this and this. And Patrick Mahomes was really good on Saturday night. Really good. And he did some special things. Don't tell me that they weren't special. Don't tell me that I shouldn't be excited about that. Now, listen. There are points and counterpoints to all sides of this. And later on today, we'll hear a little bit from Andy Reid. In fact, we'll probably hear that in the first segment. Beards, you have Andy Reid sound. We'll probably play that a little bit later this segment. We'll see. And we're going to have Matt Derrick on to talk about all this at a little after 4:30. And I'm going to ask him where he stands in this whole equation. But I'm not interested in slowing down on the Mahomes train. Here's why. It's because I don't think we're disagreeing over anything truly whenever it comes to this Mahomes discussion. I'm not saying that he definitely gives the Chiefs the best chance to win in New England in week one. He probably doesn't. I'm not going to say that Patrick Mahomes is ready for a Bill Belichick defense. I think that'd be a pretty tough start for Pat Mahomes. But I am very confident at this point in two things. And then you have to make some decisions. But I think we should be able to agree this far. And then whenever we separate, so be it. But try to stick with me through these things. That's kind of how I like to break stuff down. Let's see what we agree on and then find our divergence point. Here's what I think we can agree on. I think. Patrick Mahomes would benefit more from playing on this Chiefs team this year than by watching this Chiefs team this year. He would benefit more from being on the field and growing with the pace of an NFL game than he'll benefit from watching it. I don't think that's absurd. Yes, and I also think that he could and likely will be learning while watching the game this year and learning how to prepare and everything. I think that's going to actually benefit him. But not half as much as it would benefit him to actually be playing. You can point to all sorts of examples, and this is something I'm very tired of already. You can say that, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers didn't start right away, and now he's great. Ryan Leaf started right away, and he sucked. Peyton Manning started right away. He's one of the two best quarterbacks I've ever seen. The thing that I think we should actually... Andrew Luck started right away. He's very, very good. Matt Ryan, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers all played significant time in their rookie season. I think what we're missing here is how important the surrounding cast is to a rookie quarterback. I saw a really good point on Twitter sometime this weekend. Somebody said, if Pat Mahomes is going to be ruined by being in a certain situation, he would have been ruined by Texas Tech. He was on an offense where he was the only thing going. He was on a team where the defense never slowed anybody down. He was scrambling behind a pretty shabby offensive line. That's a situation that breaks a quarterback. And he came out of that looking good enough to be worth the 10th pick in the NFL draft. He's not going to be broken on this Chiefs team. Is there a chance that he's not as great as he looked yesterday or on Saturday? Sure, there's a chance of that. But we're not going to see that get here because Von Miller gets to him. So that point one is that I think it's pretty clear that the best thing for Patrick Mahomes is growth. The way for Pat Mahomes to be the best in 2018 is to play in 2017. Right? That's we're pretty clear on that point. What's the best thing for the Chiefs in 2018? To be going into year one of Patrick Mahomes or to be going into year two of Patrick Mahomes? Obviously, the best thing for the 2018 Chiefs would be going into 2018 with year two of Patrick Mahomes. Obviously. Then his rookie season was also sort of his maiden voyage into the NFL. You're not going to have sort of two pseudo-rookie years, if that makes sense. Pat Mahomes is not going to watch Alex Smith this year and then go in the 2018 as a second-year starter. It'll be his first year as a starter, if this is how this plays out. It'll be his first year as a starter. There are going to be growing pains. Maybe there will be somewhat fewer than there would be if he didn't sit for a year first. But I think that the math there would say he will have missed out on more than he will have gained in sort of these two scenarios where either he starts all through 2017 or he sits through 2017. I think the best thing for his growth would be to play this year. The best thing for next year's Chiefs would be to have Pat Mahomes going into year two. And I think those things are understandable. I think those things are pretty clear. I think those things at this point, frankly, are pretty obvious. If all that's the case, then why wouldn't you start him now? Well, the argument that I see is that Alex Smith gives you the best chance to win this season. Gives you the best chance to win the division. He's an accomplished quarterback who's won a lot of regular season games, has won a handful of playoff games. I get that. And if you believe that Alex Smith can win you a Super Bowl or whatever you qualify as success, if you believe that Alex Smith can give you a successful season, then of course you don't let Alex Smith go this year. But there are two problems with that. One, I'm going to say that success for this team, as currently constituted with Alex Smith, has to be farther than they've gotten before. I think for a successful season, a truly successful season, they need to be in the Super Bowl. You could be content with an AFC Championship game appearance. That's a content season, I suppose. But a truly successful season, I think this team should be putting that margin at being AFC champions. And I do not see this team as actually being capable of being AFC champions with the team as currently constructed. I think Alex Smith is built to win the AFC West and then to beat the Texans in the playoffs and then to lose to the Steelers and the Patriots. I think that's exactly what this team is built for with Alex Smith. That's what Alex Smith is for. Now, if Mahomes started this whole year, you would say, well, how are you judging this differently? But I wouldn't be judging it on that same scale. Pat Mahomes wins the division. You're feeling pretty good about the direction of the team. The way you judge it definitely is on a curve. But so I don't think that this team actually is contending for what I would call success. That's one major problem. And then beyond that, do you feel like you're spending this season wisely? if you're going to say this year, this team, I want Alex Smith as the quarterback, why wouldn't you do that again next year? You understand what I'm saying? Do you really put that much value into sitting Patrick Mahomes for one season? And if so, why? Or do you just need to see one more year of Alex Smith? Because whenever I was doing the postgame show on 8:10 with Frank Bull, he said something along the lines of, you know, this season will play out, Alex Smith will be Alex Smith, he'll be the guy that's on the back of his football card, and, you know, then they'll move on. And I agree with him. But if you already know that, if you already know what Alex Smith is, why do you need another year of it? Now, I do think that he has two tremendously explosive offensive weapons like he's never had before in Alex Smith and in Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. And those guys will play off of each other extremely well. I've been talking about that forever. Brian Baldinger mentioned that. We'll hear from him later on. He explained that also, which is the same thing I've been doing. But, you know, from a name you actually know. I don't know, unless you really think that Alex Smith has been held back by his weapons all this time, which I certainly do not think is the case. Why do you need to see another season of Alex Smith? Or why do you think that a single year of sitting is going to make Patrick Mahomes such a different quarterback than he is right now? And again, I'm not doing this as an anarchist. I'm not doing this as I'm looking for clickbait, which somebody's already accused me of doing, which is silly because I don't care. I mean, I want you to hear me, but I want you to hear me with something I actually believe and something smart. I've been saying that the Royals are 500 all spring training. I wasn't very clickbaity. I'd rather be right 6 months after I say something. In this case, I'm really just trying to ask the question. Why? Because I think the only two logical responses I can get are that you either think that the year of sitting is going to be really, really great for Patrick Mahomes in a way that playing for a year would not be, or you think that you need to see one more year of Alex Smith before you're willing to write him off. And if that's the case, then what are you looking to see from Alex Smith this year? Is there something that he can do that can keep him as a starting quarterback next year? I don't think there is for me. I mean, he would have to be an entirely different quarterback, and I don't think he's going to be doing that. I don't know. Those are the questions that I've been left asking. Where I'm not asking you to tell me why Alex Smith is going to be a better quarterback this season than Pat Mahomes is. I understand there are ways to look at that from a couple different directions. Pat Mahomes is obviously a better improver. He has much better arm strength. He can throw from different places that Alex Smith simply cannot throw from. We'll come back from a break here in a second. I'm going to break down the best thing that I saw from Patrick Mahomes, the best few things I saw from Patrick Mahomes on Saturday night. But I wanted to open the show that way. I wanted to ask you what you're waiting for, what you're looking for. Because I think eventually the logic kind of runs out. And it really becomes more like, well, I'm scared to make a move this season. I'm afraid that Patrick Mahomes will step in and be bad this year. But if he is, what if you find out that Patrick Mahomes makes this team? I think the floor would be 6-10. I don't think this team is capable of being worse than 6-10. I think Tyler Bray would probably have this team winning 4, 5, or 6 games. Maybe more. It's a really talented team. So let's say that Pat Mahomes makes the Chiefs 6-10 this year. If you believe that now, what's he going to do next season? Maybe 7-9? Maybe standing for that 1 year gives him one game of advantage somehow? I don't see that. I'd rather have him go 7-9 one year and then have him actually get used to what the NFL is like as a starting quarterback and then take that with him into the next season. I hope that makes sense. Again, I'm not doing this as like a I'm not a dog chasing cars right now. I'm genuinely curious to see where that line gets drawn. Also, just in case you missed it on Friday, I was saying this before the second preseason game. I was asking these questions then. I'm not doing this in reaction to the second preseason game. Now, if you're already this guy, you're probably saying, you've probably already commented this in some comment section, or you've already tweeted this at me and I haven't seen it yet. You're saying, oh man, it's been two preseason games. Calm down. First of all, for me, it's been one. And also, it doesn't really matter what you've seen for these questions to still be relevant. 913-491-8255 is the number if you want to call in. You can always tweet me on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. You can tweet me there. You can call the show. Eventually, you'll probably comment on something whenever the show gets podcasted. I'm genuinely interested in what you're thinking. But also, a meager victory. My mentions have gotten a little more progressive. Chad tweets in and says, Mahomes' play on 3rd and 14 says all we know. Smith converts 3rd and long about as often as this total eclipse occurs. Also, as true as that is, Chad, I don't think I've ever actually seen either of those successfully. Something always gets in the way. Today it was clouds. Every game, it's like some huge defensive lineman. But I think that Chad is right. We'll talk about Mahomes' 3rd and 14 play. Talk about a bunch of things that he did really well on Saturday night. And then a little bit later on, we'll have Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest. Come on, I'll try to convince him that Patrick Mahomes should start week one. Did I say that out loud?
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Sean Smith is arrested for felony assault for beating his sister's boyfriend.
With Joshua Briscoe.
And men across America go...
Yeah!
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. We are here from 4 to 6 p.m. every single weekday. We're going to be doing a whole lot of Chiefs for the next eternity of this show, I guess, actually, in fairness. Even in the offseason, I enjoy talking about the Chiefs. But, man, these days before and days after preseason games are just the devil's workshop. I think I figured out during the break, and I tweeted this at JB Briscoe. Drink. I tweeted this out. I think this is a summary of that first segment. I think I meandered around and ended up finding my actual questions that I have for Chiefs fans, genuinely. I'm genuinely looking for answers to this. To supplement this larger conversation, what do you expect from Alex Smith this year? And what do you expect for Patrick Mahomes to gain by sitting for a year? Because unless your response is some combination of, I expect Alex Smith to have his best season ever, and to take more deep shots, and to make this a top 15 offense at least, well, really a top 10. A top 10 offense needs to be your answer, frankly. But so I expect Alex Smith to have his best season ever and for him to make the Chiefs a top 10 offense. And or I expect Patrick Mahomes to gain huge amounts of knowledge in his year on the bench. I don't necessarily believe in either of those things, which is why I think I'm becoming, I was going to say, like the voice of the Patrick Start Mahomes Now movement. And that's not what I am. That's not true. But it's why I find myself very much being a vocal member of that sect, I suppose. I want to break down a couple things, then we're going to take a break here really quick, and then we're going to go get a hold of Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest. But Mahomes' best drive on Saturday came right out of halftime. He started the third quarter with the second team. He had this tremendous play on 3rd and 14 that I'm guessing, if you're listening to the show, you've seen already. But I want to highlight it anyway. 3rd and 14, Mahomes moved around in the pocket. He kept his eyes downfield and beyond the first down marker as he scrambled and found DeAnthony Thomas for the first down. The ball traveled like an inch beyond the first down marker. It was exactly where it needed to go. Alex Smith had that play on third and goal from the 10 earlier on where he threw a 5-yard pass to Albert Wilson, who was perfectly covered, and I wanted to rip my eyes out. Patrick Mahomes did the thing here that I'm dying for Alex Smith to do. Whenever Alex Smith does it, I freak out because it's so rare. It's eclipse-level rare. Alex Smith, is as a quarterback, is the path of totality, whatever that actually means. Mahomes was scrambling around, and the whole time as he was avoiding rushers, he kept his eyes beyond the first down marker, and he put the ball exactly where it needed to go without having, as Brad Childress put it, I think, a perfect like throwing platform for his feet. Then the next play, Mahomes avoids a blindside sack like I've never seen a subpar quarterback ever do, or even an average quarterback ever do. I thought he was going to die. I thought Pat Mahomes was going to die on the field because somebody was coming around the edge and Mahomes just stepped forward and the defensive end just wished right behind him. It was shocking. Mahomes just knew that he was coming and he timed it perfectly, and I was shocked by it. It was ghostly. So he avoids that, then he runs for the first down. Next play, Mahomes scrambles around, avoids another sack. The next play, he gets hit. He takes the hit in the pocket and hits Jehu Chesson for the first down, throwing the ball again to the first down marker. I want a quarterback with that mentality so badly. It's one reason that I'm going to be unapologetic in my love of what Mahomes is doing. I want that mentality of a guy who's going to throw to or beyond the first down marker, not 5 yards short of it. He threw a screen to D'Anthony Thomas, and D'Anthony Thomas, by the way, looked pretty good on Saturday. Took a hit, scrambled up for 9 more yards. Then on third, it was third and one at the 14. Mahomes drops back, and he stiff arms the pass rusher. He just puts his hand on his chest, and shoos him away, and then throws a bullet to Gavin Escobar for a frankly miraculous first down. You know how many quarterbacks I've seen do that, honestly? Like 3? Ben Roethlisberger I've seen do it because he's a beast. I've seen I've seen Colin Kaepernick do it because he's so elusive and he's also strong. I'm not sure how many other guys I've seen do that. And I know there are a bunch of other names, you know, maybe a guy like Johnny Manziel did it in college. But do that with an NFL pass rusher coming at you, just to shoo him away, and then to stay on the move and throw a bullet to the only guy you can get to at that point was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And then another screen to D'Anthony Thomas, got the touchdown on that drive. I was blown away by that drive. I smoked a cigarette after that drive was over. I didn't really. Don't worry, Mom. Just a little joke. And then one other thing from the Mahomes performance, then we're going to get to Matt Derrick. Chris Brown, who's at Smart Football, not the singer, but the analyst, he was on Twitter, and he pointed out Mahomes' natural ability to escape and to make plays, to throw accurately from different platforms, etc. He also said that Mahomes always keeps his eyes downfield and he understands how to throw guys open. Which, I add parenthetically now, are two of the most important things that a quarterback in the NFL can have if he wants to get to the next level. Alex Smith is okay at throwing guys open. He does not keep his eyes downfield. He's a perfectly average quarterback. And similar to the Royals, average doesn't mean unwatchable. Average just means average. An average starting quarterback. Alex Smith is what, the 15th best quarterback in football? Fine. Don't fight me. If he's 10, if you think he's 10 or you think he's 20, don't at me. He's in that range. I'd say 15 off the top of my head. But Brown also said that Mahomes now needs to develop from the pocket and needs to learn how to make routine plays and how to distribute the ball. He compared it to Mahomes' Texas Tech days. Said every play, Patrick Mahomes was trying to win the game because the Tech defense was always going to lose it. But I am not content with this meager praise of my boy Patrick Mahomes. I'm not content. Because on that throw that Patrick Mahomes had, on the touchdown throw to Demetrius Harris, if you watch the breakdown, Mahomes spins right, fakes the handoff left from the play action, then rolls right and finds the open Demetrius Harris. It's plays like that that convince people that Alex Smith can win a Super Bowl. Because defenses bite when it's done well, and Alex Smith is really good at getting defenses to bite on the play action. But Mahomes executed it, and it barely made a ripple because he made that look routine because he had been a wizard for the rest of the game. So a perfectly executed play action pass that the defender bites on, so Demetrius Harris gets open. You throw that little dinky touchdown, all of a sudden, booyah, it's 6 points. That's not very impressive, usually. I guess it's not very impressive whenever you're watching a quarterback who's doing other things amazingly well. It's impressive when Smith does it, because that's his thing. Plays like that make me think that the criticism that Mahomes needs to get better at the more normal quarterback stuff, more normal NFL quarterback stuff, I think that criticism is actually overblown. I think he's much, much closer to that than you might think. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on ESPN Kansas City. Whenever we come back, Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest. God, I've got to just slow down sometimes. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest joins us next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
And my knee-jerk reaction to this sort of made me feel, I don't know, something resembling shame.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I don't really know exactly what shame feels like.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. My name is Joshua Briscoe. Apparently shameless. That's fine. I said it, so it must be true. We're now joined by Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com, at Matt Derrick on Twitter. Matt, we'll talk about some non-quarterback stuff eventually, although last time I talked Chiefs with Seth Kaiser and Brandon Kiley on Friday, and I told them we would get to something other than quarterbacks, and we never did, so maybe don't hold me to that. Let's say this, conservatively enough, let's start with quarterbacks, and we'll see if we get anywhere else. Is that fair enough?
Well, we'll give it our best shot, man.
All right, well, listen, the quarterback thing is the most interesting thing going on. I know Kareem Hunt's going to be good. We'll get there. I think I've summarized my point, my questions, and my theorizing about where Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith are right now with a couple of questions that I want to get your opinion on. First, what do you expect Alex Smith to be this year?
That's a great question, because I've been thinking about it, and I still don't know that I really have a good answer to that. I mean, let's face it, you know, Alex Smith has a ceiling. I mean, you can look at his past, and you know that it's absolutely unreasonable to expect that Alex Smith is going to go out and throw 36 touchdown passes and 4,000 yards. It's not going to happen.
Yep.
And the way that they run this offense, in a way, limits the total offense. It doesn't limit the efficiency of the offense, but it does limit just how much offense you can have, because this team likes to drain time off the clock. They like to move very slowly. I sometimes compare it a little bit to Marty Ball in the sense that this team likes to just plod down the field. They just do it through the air more than running the football. So, you know, no, I think that from what we've seen in the preseason so far, Alex Smith, and looking at training camp too, this is, I think, the best Alex Smith that you've seen in Kansas City. And whether that's just having the right pieces in place, whether that's having, I think, the best wide receiver that he's ever had, I think the best tight end that he's ever had, you know, all those things together and having some competition behind him, maybe it is bringing up the best Alex Smith.
I think it definitely could be. I think there's a chance that this is the best season that Alex Smith has in Kansas City. But I'm also not super convinced that that's going to blow anybody away. Regardless, though, the next question that I'm curious to get your thoughts on is, what do you expect to get from a year of Patrick Mahomes sitting? clarifying statement, I guess, is like, what do you see Patrick Mahomes gaining by sitting for a year, and what do you see that growth turning into, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, and, you know, I still go back to something that Andy Reid said a couple of weeks ago when talking about, Mahomes on the practice field and everything, and talking about the best thing that he's getting right now is just experimenting and learning what he can and can't do on the field. And I think you do see that. I mean, I think we've seen it in the preseason games mm-hmm. and everything. He's kind of testing that.
Mm-hmm.
A great example was the very first throw that he had coming in on the game the other night.
Sure.
Out there in the flat and everything. That was a terrible throw.
Mm-hmm.
That was a horrible decision.
But I think that as that experimentation goes, I think I might have lost Matt. Matt, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Thank goodness. Because Beards left the room to do something else. So I was like, oh no, I'm stalling now. We're all right. I think as the experimentation goes, I think that's going to be something that gets carried into whenever he is playing in actual NFL games. You can experiment all you want in practice and in training camp and in the preseason, but sometimes experimenting against the Patriots as they're preparing for you all offseason, what you're experimenting with then is very, very different. How you experiment against the Raiders in week 10 or whatever is going to be very, very different. Eventually, he's going to have those, as I've been calling them, he's going to have those growing pains in the regular season, whenever that is his time. I guess the combined point that gets me to is, I think it's, for me, and you can just feel free to step on me if you want here, I think it's pretty clear that Patrick Mahomes is going to do the majority of his growing as an NFL quarterback while actively being an NFL quarterback who's starting on a weekly basis at some point, whenever that is. I don't think that him sitting for a year is going to allow him to skip a huge percentage of those growing pains. And I also think that the Chiefs are going to be best off every year down the line, essentially, of Mahomes' career. So they're going to have a better chance in winning during his second year than in his first, a better chance to win a Super Bowl in his third year rather than his second, etc. So I'm just starting to get on that bandwagon of why delay that process? Eventually, Mahomes is going to have to learn and experiment on the field. Does that all track for you?
I think it's an argument, but what I would say is I would point towards history. This team wants to win a Super Bowl this year. They're not concerned. They'd like to win a Super Bowl in 2018. Sure, they're planning on trying to do it again next year.
Mm-hmm.
They want to win a Super Bowl this year. And I don't think that there's anyone that can make the case that Patrick Mahomes gives you the best chance to win a Super Bowl this year. For a lot of the same things you're pointing out there, I mean, he is going to have some growing pains. I think he's going to have fewer growing pains in 2018 as a starter than he would in 2017, simply because he's just going to have more experience. He's going to have mm-hmm. more time. And, you know, he is probably going to have those growing experiences. He's going to have some mistakes he makes when he gets in there. I think you're going to have fewer the longer that he waits. And, you know, and I'll point towards, I think, the best example that you could have for this, which is Green Bay. And two quarterbacks there that I think are very similar to Patrick Mahomes and have similar arcs in the sense that, you know, that they waited. Brett Favre and Rodgers and Aaron mm-hmm. Rodgers. I mean, these are two guys that bided their time. And when they came in, you know, you didn't see a lot of growing pains without one of those. They were pretty much great passers out of the box. And I think a lot of that's because they did sit and wait and got experience.
See, I have a little bit of a hard time drawing that line of what was beneficial by waiting, what was beneficial by getting in there, because you look at the arc of a guy like from Peyton Manning to Derek Carr, guys who started right away, who ended up, you know, now Derek Carr, whatever, jury's still being out, Andrew Luck, guys like that, who are able to step in into situations that eventually led them to being very, very good quarterbacks, in Peyton Manning's case, an all-time great quarterback. I think that Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs would be stepping into a situation that would really benefit his growth as a quarterback on the field, because he's not going to be stepping into a team that just had the first overall pick. He's stepping into a team that was, you know, a contender last year. Regardless, though, the other thing that you said is that the Chiefs have their eyes set on a Super Bowl this year. And I acknowledge that's probably how they're thinking, but I don't see it. So that's also sort of clouding all of my judgment on it. Is I don't see this team with Alex Smith being able to be what I would consider successful. I think for me to say that what this season has been a definitive success, the team needs to be in the Super Bowl, at least needs to be in the AFC Championship game. I don't see this team getting that far as currently constituted. And so because that seems unrealistic to me, I'm more willing to, I guess, to look down the road.
Yeah, and I point to, and I think about this team last year, and, you know, and what I think was kind of a bad year for Alex Smith. I don't think it was obviously his best year, and you can point to a few numbers there, especially the touchdowns go, that it was not his best season. And yet, I think if this team had the 15th best run defense instead of the 25th best mm-hmm. run defense, they're in the AFC Championship game. That's how close they were last year. And that's with Alex Smith at quarterback. And I think they're going to be better on offense this year. I think they've got more experience with a couple of key players. And like I said, if what we've just seen glimpses of with Tyreek Hill mm-hmm. so far in training camp and even a little bit in the preseason, and especially and Travis Kelce too. I mean, yes. That's the best 1-2 punch that Alex Smith has ever had.
Certainly.
And you know, I will say the one thing in the preseason that we have not seen from Patrick Mahomes yet that we really need to see is Patrick Mahomes in the pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, all of his best passes have all come outside the pocket and on the run. And a lot of them have come because the second string offensive line
right.
has been atrocious.
Right.
He's been running for his life behind that line. But he's comfortable doing that. I mean, he mm-hmm. is comfortable doing that. The places that we have seen Patrick Mahomes struggle in training camp have been from the pocket. And that's where he's really got the most to learn, especially reading defenses.
Well, and I think that is something that's going to that he'll benefit from by sitting. Again, I still think that in large part a lot of this is going to come on the field. One other thing that I wanted to give you a little bit of pushback on, I wouldn't put my whole life on this, but I've talked about this a little bit over the last week or so. I don't think that Patrick Mahomes gives you a better chance than Alex Smith does to win you 11 games this year. But I have a little bit in me that thinks if I had to get a Chiefs Super Bowl this year, or else I have my hands cut off by a Raiders fan or something. I don't know why they're cutting my hands off. I really had to scramble for that one. Then I think I could make an argument for saying give me 16 games of Patrick Mahomes. There's going to be a lot of growing in there, and there's going to be a lot of struggling in there. But he has an it factor that's going to take to beat a team like the Patriots that I just don't think that Alex Smith running this offense is going to have. I'm not going to fight for that really, really hard, but I just cannot. As much as the defense I think is better, I agree with you. The offense is better. The defense, if it stays healthy, is going to be good this year. And I just watch this team, and I look at them, and I see a bunch of like almost pieces. I think they're probably the best team in the AFC West. And still not enough to overcome the two teams they can never overcome, being the Steelers and the Patriots. I don't know, it bums me out.
Well, you know, one knock against Alex Smith that his detractors do say, is points to, and says that, you know, he's never made it to a Super Bowl either. So, you know, he's even with Patrick Mahomes in that sense. Mm-hmm. And then I say, well, you know, he's really had a very limited opportunities to do that because most of his time in San Francisco, the team was awful around him. He wasn't necessarily good some of those seasons. But the team around him was horrid. Mm-hmm. And I'll argue that if he doesn't have a concussion the year that team goes to the Super Bowl, he probably takes them to the Super Bowl because mm-hmm. Colin Kaepernick wasn't any better than Alex Smith. They were both almost identical statistically. So I think that he could have taken that team to the Super Bowl. I think that was a Super Bowl team. So you're really talking about a sample size of maybe 5 or 6 seasons that Alex Smith has really had an opportunity to take a team to a Super Bowl. He's come close. We have 102 quarterbacks in NFL history that played in the Super Bowl, and none of them are rookies.
That's interesting, and I'm fine with that because again, I tend to look and see, well, what's the chance of this happening next year? The chance of essentially Patrick Mahomes having like Russell Wilson's career arc, but with a much better arm and maybe a better offense, really. I don't know. That's where I think my pessimism for an Alex Smith led offense is the thing that makes it easiest for me to look ahead. But let's look somewhere else than on the offense. The running back situation has been pretty interesting this this preseason. Yeah. It got even more interesting on Saturday night because C.J. Spiller looked explosive. Not like explosive for a guy who felt like he's been out of the league a couple of years, but explosive for, if you told me that he was a rookie and you took his name off the back of his jersey, I'd believe you. Kareem Hunt got a lot of work, and Charcandrick West looked really good against the reserves, admittedly, but he looked really good on Saturday night as well. What are you seeing from that running back situation right now?
It looks like an embarrassment of riches. I don't know if it is, because, you know, outside of C.J. Spiller, you don't have a back back there that's, you know, gone over 1,000 yards yet in their career, in a season. So until somebody does that, you know, there are some questions. You know, at West, he had a really nice season a couple of years ago. He battled that high ankle sprain last year, which the Chiefs really seem to think is what really held him back last year. And even Spencer Ware had some, you know, dings last year and everything like that to kind of slowed him down. So, you know, you've got a lot of backs there back there that no one's ever proven and shown the ability to really get through 16 games unscathed. And Spiller obviously really fits in that category because he's had a few seasons now where he hasn't been able to stay healthy. It looks like all these guys are healthy, and it looks like they're all at, if not their peak performance, then at least, you know, in Spiller's case, you know, he's gotten a little more savvy than maybe he had it a few years ago. With West, I mean, he did what you want him to do. I mean, he absolutely dominated against lesser competition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's a positive. I have no idea. I don't think they have an idea yet about what they're going to do. Andy Reid talked about it after the game on Sunday and said, you know, we'll have to see down the road if we can keep all these guys. But right now, I mean, every single one of them has earned a spot on this team, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with you. All right, we had 30 seconds left here, Matt. Give me one other thing you saw from the game on Saturday, maybe something on the defensive side that caught your eye, good or bad.
Defensive side, I think you just have to love the fact that they're keeping teams out of the end zone. Yeah. That's what they got to do. They're still bend but don't break, but they did not break.
Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Derrick. Good stuff as always, Matt. Thank you for the time.
Anytime.
I mean, he's wrong about the quarterbacks. You know, he's doing his best, right? He's just out there trying to do his job. No, I know that Patrick Mahomes has grown to do out of the pocket, and I know that Alex Smith has the best weapons he's had in his entire career. I just have a good, healthy scoop of Alex Smith-flavored pessimism drizzled all over that leaves me wanting every time. Talking about it more whenever we come back. I want to play you some sound from Andy Reid, some from Patrick Mahomes, and from Brian Baldinger next year on ESPN Kansas City.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I have a millennial-sized attention span.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Because there's still a naked baby on the microphone across from me.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. My name is Josh Briscoe. We're 4 to 6 every weekday talking about almost entirely the Chiefs, maybe. Is that true? It's been true recently, and I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not afraid of it. Embrace it head on. It's the most interesting thing in town right now. Sorry, Royals. 500 bores me. Up and down enough. I get tired of it. Which I think is why I'm going to get tired of Alex Smith. That's why I think maybe it is why I am tired of Alex Smith. We talked about the first hour about Patrick Mahomes, about Alex Smith. We'll take a brief divergence because I do think that the Chiefs... Honestly, I think we're going to talk about Patrick Mahomes constantly until week one. Then the conversation's all going to shift, and I will also shift with it. I'm not going to sit here and harp about Patrick Mahomes whenever he's not playing, unless it becomes evident that he should be playing, or whenever Alex Smith gets hurt. Pat Mahomes will definitely throw passes this year for the Chiefs. Absolutely. Maybe it's in garbage time. Maybe it's because Alex Smith gets hurt. Maybe it's at the bye week because the Chiefs' first half of the schedule is much more difficult than the second half. We'll find that out. But a quick divergence from the quarterback discussion here, and we'll get more and more into the non-quarterback stuff later in the week, I'm sure. But I've been saying for a good long while over on Sports Sunday, and now especially over here, I've been talking about the Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce pieces of this offense and how, if Alex Smith will utilize those guys correctly, how those will completely revitalize this team. Tyreek Hill's speed opens up some incredible things. I've been saying you have to have a safety go help cover Tyreek Hill, because if he's ever one-on-one, he's going to win that matchup. What happens then whenever you leave Travis Kelce open one-on-one, you have him going up against some linebacker, then it turns into a 37-yard gain. That's what happened on Saturday night. The safety helps Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce gets open. We saw it happen live. And then also after the game, Brian Baldinger, a guy whose name you've actually heard, I've talked about football, he broke down that play, if I remember correctly. And this audio came from his Twitter account, and there's a visual aid on his Twitter account, and so I understand that this is not going to translate perfectly, but I still want you to hear how Brian Baldinger talked about this exact thing.
I'd like to show you an example of what speed does to defenses. That's Tyreek Hill in the circle, and down here in the middle of the field is Sean Williams. He's the free safety for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, watch what they do pre-snap to try to help defend Tyreek Hill. They're going to run basically a shift all the way to the other side of the field where Sean Williams is now in a position to really help defend the speed of Tyreek Hill, opening up the scene for Travis Kelce, which is exactly what Kansas City sees. And this is exactly what Alex Smith is going to exploit. Travis Kelce against Kevin Minner with basically no free safety in the middle of the field. It's pitch and catch. Drop the ball in the bucket, 36-yard completion. Speed changes the way teams defend.
Is there an echo in here or what? All right, I was tooting my own horn. No, I'd say that because it makes me feel like I have an idea of what's going on. It makes me feel like I might not just be making this up as I go. That's it. That's how this works. We saw it in two different ways with Alex Smith running this offense. We saw it in the first preseason game by just shooting deep to Tyreek Hill because he was one-on-one, which means he's about to be open. Just heave it. We saw it on Saturday in that play because Tyreek Hill demanded the safety help, so you get a 36-yard pickup by dropping the ball in Travis Kelce's hands. That's an offense that can win you games. That's an offense that can win the AFC West and can get you at least to the Steelers or Patriots. We can debate about where that goes later. That's an offense that can win NFL football games, especially whenever the defense, I think, is going to take yet another step forward. Very optimistic about all that. That's all well and good. I'm very happy for all that. I'm glad that other people are catching on. I'm glad that this is going to be kind of the talking point of this Chiefs offense. I'm glad that's a ceiling that we all get to acknowledge together. That's what the offense can be. The offense, for all I care, can Alex Smith can alternate between Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce until the cows come home, and eventually they're going to score. You know, Chris Conley, maybe he's a third pass-catching option in an NFL offense, maybe. DeMarcus Robinson got two targets so far in these first two games of the preseason, caught one of them. I'm not so sure about him. Jay Chesson's running with the second team. I've got all of my questions about those guys. But that's how this offense takes their next step. And it's very doable. It's very logical. I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's as easy as anything in the NFL can be. You know what's really hard? What Aaron Rodgers does is hard. Because again, I know I've made this joke before. I know that I'm repeating myself. But through the second half of last season, he was throwing the ball to Geronimo Allison in a shopping cart with mannequin hands. Those were his weapons. Guys who were not naturally getting separation. Guys who didn't catch everything that hit him in the hands. And Aaron Rodgers still was an MVP candidate. That's really hard. What Alex Smith is required to do this year is to use his weapons, not even to say use his weapons creatively or use his weapons well. I don't believe that either of those things are required of Alex Smith this year. I believe that Alex Smith's job requirement is to use his weapons obviously. If Alex Smith does the obvious thing, he's going to have an extremely high success rate. If he merely does the obvious. And that's rare in the NFL. That is a rare luxury to say, you know what, I'm the quarterback of an NFL team, and all that's asked of me is to do the most obvious possible thing. Throw it to Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce whenever they're one-on-one. I think Alex Smith can probably do that. For all of the Mahomes conversation I have now, trust me when I tell you, it's out of a place of wanting this offense to be more than the obvious. It's wanting a guy who can throw the ball on the run, who keeps his eyes beyond the first down marker. All of those are things that I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be. Or at least can be. And I'm also, quick sidebar, I'm not out here predicting Patrick Mahomes' life cycle. I'm just giving you the reason that I think you could make a logical argument for having him start this year. So you get through that process quicker. Because if he has a bad 2 years, then you're reinvesting in another guy. What did you miss? You lost 1 year of Alex Smith and you replaced him with a rookie who wasn't ready yet. Fine. But I think there's a decent chance that Alex Smith is able to use his weapons, obviously. But I also get dragged back down. Because these are a couple of the biggest takeaways I had from Saturday's game. All the Mahomes stuff, talked about it. The Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce factors, just got all that. This is the other thing, though. It's back to the quarterback talk, and if you're sick of it, I'm sorry. We'll have other stuff soon. We'll have other stuff during the season. We'll have other stuff later this show, in all likelihood. We'll have stuff later this week, surely. But it's what I want to talk about today, because I think it's really interesting. And I think also you should think it's interesting. If you're a Chiefs fan, just be excited. If you think that Alex Smith is a worthwhile starting quarterback, great. Be excited that your team has a starting quarterback. And also be excited they got the guy of the future. I'm at a place now where I'm a fanalist. That's the word I made up a while back, and I'm going to keep using it. I'm a fan and the analyst of the Chiefs. And I'm comfortable enough with that. Some people probably would rather just have totally objective people. I'm pretty objective when it comes to the Royals. I'm a fan of the Chiefs. I can't be fully objective, but I definitely try my very best to be. But whenever I do that, I also sometimes realize that that gives me a sort of a separation from your average Chiefs fans. This is another sidebar, and I'm sorry for all the sidebars. This show is very stream of conscience. I shouldn't apologize for that kind of stuff, probably. That's sort of how this show works, I guess. I find myself having a little bit of a barrier between me and just, like, this is not a pejorative, but your average fan, your normal Chiefs fan. Because I'm breaking down stuff that your normal fan doesn't necessarily have to break down. And I'm trying to be objective, even if I don't necessarily always want to be. So there's kind of a barrier there. I try really hard not to say, you know, here's how you should be a Chiefs fan. But in this case, I'm willing to say you should just be happy about the quarterback situation right now. I don't really want to tell you how to root or who to root for. But even if you're a Smith guy or gal, if you're a Smith fan, fine. Be happy that your team has an adequate NFL quarterback. And also be happy and be excited about the guy coming up. We can talk about both of those things independently. I feel like that's mostly what we're doing. Even though I will talk about why Mahomes could start and could grow from starting. You can also appreciate both of those things separately. Anyway, this is the convergence. Although I can say all of this without mentioning Mahomes' name. So maybe I just will. I just will. I will not say Patrick Mahomes in this next bullet point. Ready? In the preseason game, Alex Smith was exactly Alex Smith. He had that maddening choice in the red zone on 3rd and 10. He throws a 5-yard little crosser to Albert Wilson, who was surrounded by defenders and had no chance at scoring that ball. No chance. That was maddening. Maddening. I hate that. I hate it when Alex Smith does that. Give yourself a chance to at least put the ball where only your guy can get it. If you throw the ball and it goes 6 inches over Demetrius Harris's fingertips and it's a foot away from any defender, fine, throw that ball. Because some days Demetrius Harris is going to tip it up and he'll grab it. Some days you're just going to miss it. But try putting the ball in the end zone where only your guy can get it. Alex Smith can do that in the red zone. It's not an arm strength thing. He can get that ball there. So that was a maddening decision that Alex Smith made. He also had a tremendous throw to Travis Kelce whenever he saw Travis Kelce being single covered by a linebacker. And also, like, the safety wasn't non-existent. Some other defensive back came over, really, like, well, the ball was still in the air, and the ball was dropped in at the perfect time. A great throw. A great throw. He also, on the touchdown to Demetrius Harris, had a fantastic throw just on a frozen rope in a tight window. It was great. Those plays, paired with a 5-yard pass from the 10-yard line on third and goal, that is the Alex Smith experience. That is Alex Smith being Alex Smith. And Alex Smith being Alex Smith is going to win you the AFC West, and it's going to beat Houston in the playoffs. Probably going to beat Tennessee in the playoffs. Whoever ends up out of the AFC, it'll beat the AFC South. That will beat the AFC South and the AFC West. Which is good. That gives you some wins. But that whole deal, Smith being Smith, beating the AFC West and the AFC South, isn't going to keep me happy this year. I will not be made happy by Alex Smith simply being Alex Smith. Is he going to say his name? Nope, I won't. I'm not going to. That's not the point. Because here's why. That didn't change for me after the draft. That didn't change for me after the first preseason game. That didn't change for me after the second preseason game. I've been at this place where Alex Smith being Alex Smith isn't enough. I got to that point about halfway through the regular season last year, when Nick Foles was the backup. And I also was not calling for Nick Foles to start a game. I want to make that also very clear, because I think that would have been dumb. He's like a lesser evolution of Alex Smith. But I think you can be in content with your quarterback's play without even looking to the backup. Now, eventually it becomes a part of the conversation, saying, ooh, do you pull a trigger here? But without that even coming into the conversation, I can tell you definitively, I'm not going to be content with an average Alex Smith this year. I need him to avoid 5-yard crossing routes on 3rd and 12 throughout this season. I don't want to see that anymore. It's not, because it's not going to be enough to beat the Patriots. It's not going to be enough to beat better teams in general. I think they go to the Giants and have the Jets at home, or it's vice versa. I can't remember which way it is. They play the Giants and the Jets this year. The Giants are going to be a team that's moving the ball in big chunks. I don't know if you can beat the Giants that way. I don't know much about the Giants' defense, in fairness. But that's they're on the road both times, Beards.
Yeah, and there's a game at home versus the Bills in between there.
So they're going to New York twice in 3 weeks?
At Giants, home versus the Bills, at Jets.
Interesting. Thank you, Beards. Did not know that. But so it's not about the backup quarterback, and it's not about the opponent really either. That's just going to be a thing that I know I'm not going to be able to deal with this year. Alex Smith needs to be consistently throwing beyond the marker. He needs to consistently be keeping his eyes downfield. He needs to be consistently doing the obvious thing and then some, getting the ball to his playmakers. And so while I want to agree with what, like, Matt Derrick was saying earlier, about how this could be Alex Smith's best season because he's got the best 1-2 weapon he's ever had. That's true. And he's got some pressure behind him. I get it. Some competition in the room. But here's where I lose it a little bit. It's not going to change his eyes. It's not going to change his demeanor as a quarterback. Alex Smith isn't going to suddenly be really, really extraordinary at keeping his eyes downfield because he's in a little bit of a competition and because he's got really good weapons. If Tyreek Hill isn't open enough for him, he's going to pull the ball back down and eventually go to Albert Wilson. I don't think that Alex Smith is going to change as a quarterback. The weapons around him are better than ever in his career. But I don't think it's going to have some sort of fundamental, like, chemical change. Isn't that how it was in science classes? In chemistry, you learn about a physical change and a chemical change. It's like a physical change is like something that can be undone, essentially. If you took apart a puzzle, it would be a physical change. If you burned a puzzle, it would be a chemical change. Alex Smith might be able to have a little bit of a physical change here. He might be able to put some more pieces together because he's got better weapons. But Alex Smith isn't going to light his puzzle on fire. There's not going to be a fundamental difference in Alex Smith this season. I just don't think he's going to do that in year, I think, 13. Who fundamentally changes in their 13th year in a given profession? Especially when all of your decisions get made in like half a second. I just don't see it. 913-491-8255. 913, Tyler Thigpen, Tom Bahali, Dwayne Bowe, D. Ford. That's the phone number, if you ever feel like calling it. Also, put ESPN Kansas City in your presets.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
We just had a nice conversation during the break about Caillou, the kids show from... It's not still airing, is it?
With Joshua Briscoe.
Jordan. His name in French means pebble.
Really?
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City. With you until 6 o'clock. It's 4 to 6 every weekday. Did I just become an old-timey game show host for some reason? I think today is going to end up being a full Chiefs 2 hour, so if you're not interested in that in the next 35 minutes, I'm real sorry. You can probably go find a radio or a podcast version of a Royals show we did at some point, right?
How's that different from any other day on this show?
Oh, it's during the actual
This show
week.
Is like a Chiefs show with occasional other sports things.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. I was realizing as I was tweeting about the Royals a couple days ago. I guess it was yesterday. I was tweeting about the Royals. And I just got like no response to anything because most of my followers are Chiefs fans first and foremost and apparently only. Because that's sort of what I spent like 4 full years talking about the Chiefs with the podcast and everything. So I have an unbelievable amount, an unbelievable like weightedness towards the Chiefs. With my audience, if I dare say. There were a couple other things from the preseason game that I thought were worth touching on. And a few things happened today. Also, we'll hear from Andy Reid and from Pat Mahomes here in a little bit. A couple other takeaways that we haven't gotten to yet. The run defense looked really, really good. And it was without Chris Jones. Benny Logan and Alan Bailey and Raheem Nunez-Roches have all looked stupendous in their time in camp and now in the preseason. Those guys are going to be simply monstrous. Justin Houston looked pretty good in his time. He didn't do anything insane, but he had a couple of nice pushes. D. Ford actually had a couple of kind of like bull rushes, which is encouraging from a guy who's largely spent his career on having a fast first step. I mean, I guess I'm a little worried maybe about that first step, but he looked pretty good. The run defense in general just looks like it's going to take a huge step forward. Ramique Wilson has had a very, very good offseason and preseason. I think he's going to be that starter beside beside Derek Johnson. And you've got Justin March-Lillard, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, I think kind of leading the way for those other backup spots. Josh Malaga played pretty well, though, too. The run defense looked really good. The running game looked really, really good. Touched on it a little bit earlier, but Kareem Hunt got a lot of work and looked explosive. He showed his elusiveness. He showed his balance, showed the way that he's able to stay on his feet after getting hit. That's what I'm looking for from Kareem Hunt. I'm excited for all of that. Spencer Ware got, I think, one or two carries throughout the game. He's still the starter in my eyes, but I think Kareem Hunt is going to take over this job pretty quickly. He will be getting a larger share of the split time. But even then you're looking at the bottom half of this running back depth chart. CJ Spiller looked explosive, like young and explosive. I did not expect him to look that good. And Charkendrick West against reserves, admittedly, looked really, really good also. So I think the Chiefs would like to give the advantage to Charkendrick West, the guy they know. But C.J. Spiller in limited work has actually looked more explosive to me. Again, kind of trying to adjust for competition. But I personally wish the Chiefs would keep all four of those guys and let Anthony Sherman walk. It seems like his exclusive purpose on this team is to catch one-yard passes in short-yard situations whenever the team can't run the ball, which is, you know, what he's really there for originally, is to help the team run the ball. But I don't think he is going anywhere. He's too big of a part of this offense, weirdly enough. But the running game looked good. Another thing with Kareem Hunt, on that play where Anthony Sherman caught that fourth down reception that picked up the first down, Hunt knocked out two pass rushers with his body. There's a gif of it circling around Twitter where you see this view where Hunt sort of sees the rushers coming, and at least one of them was let through by design. You let that guy kind of get baited in, and that's how Sherman gets open. But two guys bust through. Hunt just goes horizontal, takes them out both at the knees, and the first down play actually got a first down in a way that absolutely would not have been the case if Hunt did not make those two blocks. So that's going to be a way that he gets into this lineup sooner rather than later. And once he gets into this lineup, I don't think he's going to get off those spots very easily at all. In the pass defense, Marcus Peters is an alien. We know that. He doesn't have human arms. He has, like, tendrils. He's got, like octopi arms that are just always between the receiver's hands and the ball. But the rest of the cornerbacks have me seriously concerned at this point. Terrence Mitchell is still working his way back from an injury, and his health is going to be sneakily important to this team. They'll pick up some guys off of waivers or after the cuts go through. They're going to be defensive backs, especially cornerbacks, that get released throughout the NFL whenever that big cutdown does happen, that are going to be better than, I'm afraid, Philip Gaines, better than maybe Devontae Bosby, maybe better than DJ White. Those guys all really give me some concerns. I actually think DJ White has shown maybe the most out of those guys. Steven Nelson in the slot's really good. Marcus Peters is obviously tremendous. I'm afraid about Terrence Mitchell staying healthy and what happens whenever one of those outside guys goes down. Gaines can probably hold down that slot spot okay. Remember when the Chiefs drafted him, they had Peters and Sean Smith, and the move appeared to be to have Phil Gaines be the slot guy. But then they let Sean Smith walk. Phil Gaines got moved to the outside for a little bit. They also draft Kavari Russell, and Steven Nelson becomes that slot guy. Nelson is there to stay. Obviously, Peters is there to stay. That other spot really is unsettling to me. Now, for what happened today, Andy Reid spoke, Pat Mahomes spoke, and Alex Smith spoke. We'll hear Andy Reid first. We're not going to hear from Alex Smith at all, not because I think he's a terrible quarterback or that I think he should not be acknowledged as a starting quarterback of this team. And we are going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, not because I think he has to start week one, but simply because Alex Smith is a veteran who is really good at answering all of the questions while not saying anything particularly interesting. I listened to everything Alex Smith said. It wasn't great. Everything that Pat Mahomes says is interesting because he's new in the league. Everything that he says, good, bad, or ugly, means something, you know, kind of tangentially at least. But first, listen, just hear me out. Andy Reid was asked about if Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be a starter this year.
Is there a way for Patrick Mahomes to play well enough to ever, you know, make that jump to the one this season?
I don't know. He's just taking it day by day and just seeing how he's doing. I mean, that's not where we're at. It's Alex's job, and that's how we're doing. I mean, the next question is, you come back and you say, well, what if Alex gets hurt? You know, I mean, can he? I would never say that he can't do something, but I would tell you in this case, it's Alex's job. I mean, that's what it is. There's no gray area with that.
All right. So listen, I know. Don't yell at me. I get it. I understand. Yeah, I know. I know what you're thinking. But also, Andy Reid never said no. Honestly, this is ready for almost entirely sports. That answer to me was so Donald Trumpy. It's like, yeah, listen, they're taking a bit day by day. Like, it would be like if you asked, you know, Donald, is there any chance that you would fire Mike Pence? You go, listen, you know, Mike is great. You know, he's doing a great job. I would never, you know, your next question would be, well, you know, could Paul Ryan not step up and do the job? I'm not going to say he couldn't do that if something happened to Mike. But, you know, I just don't see it. It's day by day, you know, it's whatever. Not a big deal.
That
violence on many sides.
The something might happen to Mike has a very different tone
it. That's true.
Than something might happen to Alex Smith.
You're right. That's true. That's a good point. But like, that's the vibe I got from it. Because you know what he could have said? He could have said no. Unless Alex Smith gets hurt, Patrick Mahomes will not start for this team this year. And he didn't say that. He said it's Alex Smith's team. Teams change hands. Stuff happens. I thought it would. Listen, I'm not going to try to, like, tell your fortune by what Andy Reid said. This isn't a Ouija board. I just thought it was kind of interesting. It was kind of like a non-denial denial. It's like, well, you know, Patrick's just taking it one day at a time. He's kind of moving up and everything. Now, listen, would he have said something different if Nick Foles was the guy behind him? Maybe not. Maybe he would have said, listen, I'm not going to say that Nick Foles couldn't start for this team. He's a good quarterback, but it's Alex with this team. Maybe that's reading into it too much. I thought it was worth sharing. A couple other bits of news from today. Parker Anger is back off the PUP list. I think that it's going to be his job again by week one. He's going to get a lot of snaps what day of the week is the game this weekend? Is it Friday? I think it's Friday. I'm not going to say that he's not going to get I think he will get a bunch of reps on Friday if he truly is physically able to perform again, because he needs to get back in the swing of things. Brian Witzman has had his struggles throughout the preseason. He's been probably the weakest of the five guys who are out there right now. And this team needs to be better running the ball. And that's something that Parker Anger will be and will give the team an advantage at. They were better running the ball when he was healthy last year before he got hurt. I would like to see Parker Anger back as soon as possible. That's interesting and hopefully eventually important. Eric Berry with his heel injury returned to practice today. And two other stories we'll get to later on, probably in the last segment of the show. Roger Goodell might be getting a new 5-year contract, and the Broncos have named the starting quarterback. Both of those stories are kind of hilarious. But first, Patrick Mahomes was one of the guys who spoke today, and we're just going to hear everything that he said, because again, you know, he can do no wrong. He can say nothing uninteresting. That's not true, but there's a lot here.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize I fell until after when I saw the film on it. I think my mom said something to me. She's like, why'd you fall down? I'm like, I didn't even know I did, but I think I gave myself a turf burn even. But, I mean, it was something that I just tried to get the ball in there. I think I threw it hard and just kind of was off balance and fell.
What did Escobar say?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big-time catch by him. He took a big hit, but it was a big situation. And he said the way to put it in there, and I'll catch it every day. And I said, I'll keep doing it, keep throwing it to you.
How's the recall of this play?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting better day by day. There's some plays in there that are still, I think, 18, 19 words you got to make sure you stay on top of. But for the most part, it's getting better, and I'm trying to make sure I can emphasize the important parts and make sure I can get them out smoothly.
Has there been a time in a game yet where it's been like something too long that you've had to repeat a couple times, or are you at the point where the stuff you call in the game is stuck and spitting out?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I feel like it's there's going smoothly. I'm getting them out pretty fast and getting to the line and trying to make my checks there. But there's some times where I might stutter on a word or two, but I make sure to slow myself down, call it the right way, and with having great alignment and great receivers, that helped me out.
What's the number one thing you've learned observing Maverick so far?
Yeah, just how efficient he is. It seems like he always has a plan. He always knows if they play this defense, I'm going to go here. If they play this defense, I'm going there. And just seeing that and just knowing how he always has a plan and he can get himself out of certain situations is something you just learn from every single time you watch it. I feel like I'm getting closer and closer every single day. I mean, it's something that he's, I think, built a career on it, of just making sure he has a plan and making sure he has a way to make something happen on every single play. And so I just learn, I watch, and do what I can just to make sure that I'm getting them to that level.
What's the process for you when that plan breaks down? Like on the Escobar play, when it breaks down kind of immediately, are you already thinking about the exit strategy inside of that? How quickly do you feel like you have to react to altering it, you know, pretty quickly in the moment?
I think it's a lot of reaction. It's a lot of just getting a lot of game in, having the college, having to be on the run a lot, and then getting it here and doing it in practice. We work on those things. We work on scramble drill. We work on keeping the play alive and making plays happen, and it shows up on the field. I mean, defensive guys can make plays happen. Whenever they spit through there, you got to make a play, run, and throw it to those guys.
You described when you were talking about it in camp, like making throws and then learning, like even if you got away with it, like maybe that wasn't a throw you're supposed to make. I feel like the first throw of that game was one of those to the outside, that the defender got his hands on it, that maybe that was one of those throws that if you had back, you would have made?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Just the first two reads weren't there, and I tried to go late to the sideline, which is never a good thing. And right when I threw the ball, I knew it was a mistake. And that's just something you got to learn from. Luckily, it wasn't intercepted. We got to continue the drive. We got a touchdown on that drive. But got to learn from those mistakes and not let those happen again.
Do you feel like you get away with more of that because of your arm strength?
Not necessarily. I think it's just kind of the luck of the draw type thing. I mean, it's something where you try not to make those mistakes, and if they do happen, hopefully you can just lead to incompletion and not interception.
Is it hard, Pat, to draw that line between not giving up on a play and not making a mistake?
I mean, there is a line that you have to work with, but at the same time, you've got to make some plays happen. But I think I've said it before, with the defense that we have, you want to make sure you don't turn the ball over. You don't want to give the other offense any advantage at all, because our defense is going to make the stop.
You were talking about you playing a lot more on the run in college and everything. Do you have a different level of confidence when you're maybe outside the pocket on the run versus in the pocket?
I mean, if I had my choice, I'd be in the pocket any day. I mean, just to sit in the pocket and make the throws, go through your reads is always something a quarterback wants to do. But just having that ability to go on the run and still keep the plays alive is something that I do like. I like getting out there and throwing it downfield and, like I said, get to those playmakers and let them make plays.
You feel like it loosens up the defense at all when you do that?
It's something that they definitely have to get adjusted to. Whenever you can run and keep the eyes downfield, they kind of do flow with you. And it's something that I try to take advantage of and just find guys out there that are open.
Last one, can you take us a little bit into the dynamic of the quarterbacks here? And Alex talked about giving you a hard time about falling down after the throw. Just as the young guy in there, can you just take us through kind of the dynamic in that room?
Yeah, I mean, all those quarterbacks, Bray, Alex, Stavi, are all great guys. We have a great quarterback room. Even the quarterback coaches, we all compete. But we all want to make each other better every single day, and we all joke around and have fun. I mean, it's a great unit of guys.
That's Patrick Mahomes. He spoke out at practice today. And there are a handful of interesting things in that clip, just to figure out where he's at right now and all of the ups and downs of this whole process. A few things that I thought were most interesting from that clip. He said he feels good about his ability to recall all the plays and to work throughout this playbook and everything, doing his checks at the line of scrimmage. I think that's important because that's something that gets a lot of hullabaloo in Andy Reid's offense as being a thing that's very hard for a quarterback to keep up with, and with the idea that that Reid would have to cut down the playbook pretty significantly with Pat Mahomes in there instead of Alex Smith. I think he has to have at least a pretty substantial grasp on everything, because Andy Reid was willing to make Pat Mahomes the backup. And if Alex Smith gets hurt, which is something that happens pretty consistently, he's going to be the guy that has to step in with a smaller playbook or not. He also had that little piece in there where he was praising Alex Smith and always having a plan for every defense. Now he feels like he's getting closer to getting to that point. I think that's interesting because he's already a guy who is great whenever the play breaks down. I mean, that might be on a sliding scale. That might be his biggest strength, you know, compared to what other quarterbacks are able to do in those instances. That's whenever he looks like Aaron Rodgers to me. That's whenever he looks like a guy who is actually bringing something really, really impactful to the table. So I think there's always something to be said for having a plan for each defense and everything. But the difference is whenever Alex Smith's plan is either to check it down or if Alex Smith is ever wrong about his plan, that's usually going to end up being essentially nothing. Whenever Pat Mahomes' plan is wrong or it breaks down, in some ways, that's when he's at his best. He also talked about being in the pocket, how he wants to throw from the pocket and everything, even though, you know, he's good at being outside of it and scrambling. That's all well and good. Just something that he's going to get checked in on every once in a while to see how is he performing in the pocket. The thing is, at Texas Tech and in the preseason running with the second team, he doesn't get a whole lot of pockets. He hasn't spent a good portion of his career in a pocket. He's spent a good portion of his career trying to make something happen outside of it after it's broken down. So I'm thinking that he's going to be able to make that transition to having an actual offensive line pretty well. He also has asked and explained that bad throw that he had out of the gate. And he said he was going through he went to his first two reads and it wasn't there. So he tried to go back across the field to the sideline too late, which is a bad idea. And he knew all of that and everything. It was one bad throw. And I like what Keenan Fahey does pretty frequently with all of his quarterback film breakdown. But he does have a tendency to sort of stick with stick to his guns. He tweeted out that gif and was saying, you know, this is the problem with Pat Mahomes. He's always going to try to do too much. We don't criticize singular throws like that for established veterans. This is what we do whenever we have very little film to work off of. So we overpraise the good stuff, perhaps, and we overcriticize the bad stuff. I can admit to being in that camp, though. I really do think that all the good stuff has been very, very interesting. And if Pat Mahomes ends up throwing the ball across his body or throwing the ball to the sidelines whenever his second read isn't there, and that ends up in a pick every once in a while, I'll take it if it's paired with all the good stuff that we've seen already. 913-491-8255. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show, talk about Roger Goodell getting a contract extension and what is happening in Denver. I promise, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're going to want to go ahead and stick it out for the last 15 minutes.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I don't have to talk entirely sports for 2 hours. I have to talk almost entirely sports for 2 hours a day.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Closing up shop here on Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. Roger Goodell might be getting a 5-year contract extension?
Interesting.
So reports came out today that it would be for 5 more years, taking him through 2024. His current contract ends in 2019. We're currently having a lot of discussions about eventually a work stoppage. The NFL's discipline process has been widely criticized. You might hear those things and go, why would they be giving Roger Goodell a contract extension to take him through 2024? And then I would gently but firmly remind you that the only thing that matters is money. And the NFL's making money. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much how this works. He's an employee of the owners. He's not a representative of. He's a representative of the owners. He does not have owners working for him. He works for the owners, and as long as the owners are happy with their pocketbooks, he's going to stick around. Now, you can go ahead and say it's bad for the pocketbooks whenever there's a work stoppage. Yeah, that'd be bad. There are criticisms there. There are worries to be had, for sure. But if the pocketbooks are looking good, they're going to go ahead and keep him around. In fact, six owners were responsible for the decision to renew his contract. We don't know if it was unanimous or not. This is from via Ben Volin, and the compensation committee is made up of Arthur Blank, Robert Kraft, Bob McNair, John Mara, Art Rooney, and Clark Hunt. So, ya boy is also on board with this. One other Chiefs thing that popped up that I know is so small and so petty and everything, but Pro Football Focus tweeted that both Kansas City quarterbacks rank inside the top 15 in the NFL in adjusted accuracy percentage in the preseason this year. Patrick Mahomes is at 81%. Alex Smith at 86.7. That's 15th and 5th in the NFL in the preseason in average accuracy percentage. I know it's nerdy. I know it's nerdy and it's the preseason. I just, you know, thought I might want to know. Also, meanwhile, in Denver, oh boy. The Broncos did the obvious thing. They named Trevor Siemian their starting quarterback, and everybody in Denver said, yes, obviously, this is how this was going to end. But what a disaster. The Broncos traded up to get Paxton Lynch. And apparently, the teams they were bidding against, or the teams they were sort of rushing against to get to Paxton Lynch, were the Cowboys and the Chiefs, which is very, very interesting. Everybody seemed to get Paxton Lynch wrong, because he, out there now, seems to have all the physical tools and is just too slow for the game. Connections that I've drawn between hearing the criticisms of Paxton Lynch, he sounds like Tyler Bray more than he sounds like a first-round talent that you trade up for. But he is not going to be in the NFL for very long because the team that wants him to succeed more than any other team could possibly ever want him to succeed could not justify putting him on the field. That is a really, really bad sign for a young NFL quarterback. Trevor Siemian will be the guy in Denver, and he's going to be Alex Smith, but more limited. He's going to be, again, the devolved version of Alex Smith. Now, I think there's a case to be made that the Broncos might have, top to bottom, the best division in the AFC West, minus that first slot being the quarterback slot. If they went and got Colin Kaepernick or Tyrod Taylor or even Alex Smith, probably, they would be a playoff caliber team. And with Trevor Siemian, they are going to be a team that cannot properly utilize Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. They're going to be a team that gets carried by their defense, but ultimately can't do enough offensively to get it done. They're going to be a team that gets a really tired defense because their offense cannot stay on the field. Also, Jamaal Charles is apparently not going to be playing in Week 4 for the Broncos in the preseason, so he's going to have one preseason game to try to show the Broncos what he has left. I actually hope he makes a team just because I would like Jamaal Charles to stay in the league. I don't really know if that's unhomerish of me or what, but his window seems to be pretty small. The AFC West is going to be really interesting. The Chargers can't stay healthy. The Broncos have no quarterback. The Raiders, their defense is a problem. Derek Carr's not as accurate as you think. The Chiefs are in a pretty good place right now. And we spent most of this show talking about the quarterbacks, and largely quarterback who's not going to start this year in all likelihood unless there's an injury. It's an interesting and I think a good place we're at here with the Chiefs. This has been Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, 1510.com. We'll be back again tomorrow at 4 p.m. to talk Almost Entirely Chiefs. Sports, I mean. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.